The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
The Revolution of Juan McCartney is sponsored by Fidelity Bank Bahamas, J.S. Johnson, Commonwealth Bank, Bahamas Bus and Truck, Burger King, Ron's Electric Motors, Bonneville Bones, Atlantis Paradise Island, Marlin Marine, and Wendy's.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back, or welcome, in the first instance, welcome back from yesterday to the Revolution here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I'm Juan McCartney, so good to have you with us, as always. It's excellent to be in your company, and thank you for joining us. We are today going to continue our discussions over the budget. Again, budget not super sexy, I know. But I've tried to explain to you over the last several days how important this is, right? Because ultimately it comes down to whether your taxes will go up, whether your services will be cut. And when that happens, you'll be paying attention. So my thing is, don't let it sneak up on you. Don't let it catch you by surprise, right? And always stay woke to understand that when the political spin comes, you can come with the facts. All right. If you keep up, if not, you're just going to let people who don't know what they're talking about tell you something and it's not going to make any sense. Like last time we were talking about the VAT raise. Oh, well, you don't want the dollar to get devalued. The hell are you talking about? The dollar's going to be devalued if we don't raise VAT? Make it make sense. Right. So the angle I want to tackle today is, what is in the realm of the possible, as well as the probable, and what is in the realm of hopes and dreams and wishes as we look at the budget. All right? The budget starts off by looking at what the government will spend, what the government believes it can take in. It considers the broader economy, and it also considers our levels of debt and our ability to service and pay back that debt, among other things. But basically, it's what you're going to take in versus what you're going to spend. And you look at that and you weigh that against the entire economy and you try to figure out where you're going to be with your debt, with the GDP, how much economic activity is there going to be, which determines how much money I'm going to take in, which should guide you on how much money you are able to spend. So the government's never going to find enough money to stop spending. Right? There's always going to be something new they spend on. So they're projecting about $2.4 billion. If the government brought in $6 billion, I don't doubt that they would find a way to spend $5 billion. All right? At least. In my mind, they'd spend the other billion too, just for good measure. But the government has to look at how much money it's going to take in and go, okay, what can we pay for? What can we finance? Right? And the money it spends over what it takes in, it will have to borrow in order to make up the difference. Now, you do have some governments that don't do that on a regular basis. I know there were several instances where the United Kingdom was able to fund its budget just on taxes. I think there were a few cycles there in the not too distant future. Past, sorry. where the UK was able to fund it, but we have not been able to do so for quite some time. All right. And so we continue to borrow because the government's broke. Right. Well, let me say this. Well, okay. Broke and poor are two different things. Right. So if you're poor, it means you just ain't got nothing coming in. If you actually have streams of revenue, but you don't have any cash or headroom for anything else or to take on anything else, that means you're broke, right? And you got to borrow in order to pay your bills. You got to borrow in order to further service debt. That means you're broke, right? That gives you an indication of when you're broke. So if you have a loan at a bank, you have your mortgage, and then you take out a car loan, and then you have to go to another bank to go get a loan just to pay the payments on the car loan and service the interest on the mortgage. Even though you have revenue coming in, you're broke. And that's kind of where our government's at. They got billions of dollars coming in, but they got billions of dollars in expenses, and they don't have the headroom. It's not coming in fast enough. It's not coming in a uniform, regular way enough for them to avoid borrowing to pay teachers, police, public servants. So that's the situation where we are. How does the government get less broke? The government could cut down on expenses. The government could look at increasing streams of revenue. Or the government could find some assets, sell those off, right? Marijuana we could put on the table. That could fetch us probably a couple billion dollars, right? Someone may want to buy that. So this is how the government mitigates its brokenness. What we see in this budget is what I believe is an admission of brokenness and just a willing suspension of disbelief that without serious measures, the brokenness will not get worse. So what we're looking at when we look at the budget are a couple of things. So, firstly, we're looking at the GDP projection, all right? So, the government is predicting that the country's gross domestic product will grow at a rate of 3.9% in 2021-2022. When we look at what's in the realm of the possible, sure, that's possible. When we look at what's in the realm of the probable, I don't know that that is probable or likely to happen, and I'll explain why. So the International Monetary Fund has already given its forecast for the Bahamas growth rate for this calendar year. The budget, of course, is a fiscal year. It intercedes years, right? It goes over both years, 6 months in. The IMF says we're going to grow by 1.8% in 2021. So I'm trying to figure out where the government gets the 3.9% GDP growth. Because to me, that's not an honest or outright. I would like to understand why they think that. Because here's what is true. If we look at the GDP that the Department of Statistics has released, we have to question where the government is getting its figures. All right? Should any other figures, let me ask you this question. Should the government get data about the country's gross domestic product from anywhere other than the agency responsible for measuring the country's gross domestic product? Because the central bank is going to use the data from the Department of Statistics. The U.S. Department of State is going to use the data from the Department of Statistics. The World Bank is going to use the Department of Statistics data. The IMF is going to use the Department of Statistics data. So I'm wondering where the government's data is coming from. And let me explain why I say that. So you say GDP is going to grow by 3.9% in the upcoming fiscal year. I don't understand what makes you believe that. All right? If we look at the GDP last year, we would understand that we took an extraordinary hit, particularly in quarter three and quarter four of last year. Quarter three and quarter four was July through December of last year. So already we start off at a very low point because of what happened in the beginning of August. And then we were gradually getting a bit better, and now we're getting a bit better. All right. We had about 47,000 international travelers through LPIA last month. No. I know it's different to have two fiscal cycles. One is calendar year and one is fiscal year. I'm not trying to confuse you, but here's what is true. Even though you have a calendar year and a fiscal year, you can understand that you have data from the last calendar year that has already factored into your fiscal year. And I know that may be hard to explain to the audience. All right. One is from January to December. One is from July to the end of June. All right. But you still have an intersecting part of the year that informs your data for the fiscal year. The International Monetary Fund also says we're going to have a growth rate of 8.5% in 2022. So again, I'm trying to figure out how you balance that data. And is the Department of Statistics informing you of this data? Is that the data you're using? Because if the data you're using for previous years is off from what the Department of Statistics is saying, then I question your projections moving forward. All right? Now, by the way, you can join me in this conversation. All right. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Text message 422-4796, 422-4796. Yeah, it's easy to see how they could differ, but that's not my question, is that they're different. My question is, what's informing your forecast? And what has so far informed what you've recorded as GDP? Because for this year, if you look at the budget, and it's got to be a mistake, but if we're starting off making mistakes, I wonder where we're going. If you look at the budget estimates that they released, for this year, they say, for this fiscal period we're in, they claim that GDP has contracted by 100%. Now, we know that's not true. If GDP had contracted by 100% for this fiscal year, then all economic activity would have ground to a screeching halt, right? So, again, what's informing your data is my question. Because if we look at the calendar year last year, we could see where it contracted over 20% in quarter three and quarter four, but yet you're telling me that the growth rate in current prices only contracted by 0.5%. Now, if you already have two quarters of data from that year where you see a contraction in each quarter of more than 20%, how do you get 0.5% for the year? And there was also a major contraction in the quarter before that, but if both quarters contracted by over 20%. How are you getting 0.5% for the entire year? Like, what's informing that? My question is, again, if you are looking at the growth rate in constant prices, according to the budget released by the government of the Bahamas for 2020-2021, you have a minus 100% growth rate in constant prices, all right? In real GDP, it's a 0.5% contraction. I don't understand what informed that. In Nominal GDP, it's a 100% contraction in this budget book, and I don't understand where you're getting these numbers from or if you're just printing them in error. So if that's an error, then why are we then looking at growth at 3.9%? For the next year. If you've already been off with your stuff this year, why are we looking at growth 3.9% this year? So approved budget is minus 100%. You're projecting now that you're only going to experience a 5.8% contraction for the fiscal year. I don't understand that when two quarters of your fiscal year saw a 20% contraction. All right. So again, when we look at what is possible, sure, the economy is going to grow by 3.9%. That's possible. What is probable? I don't think so. And also, your forecasts and your numbers look weird to me. All right? Clearly, there's not 100% contraction in the growth rate and constant prices. All right? And if it's 100% contraction in constant prices, how can it be 0.5% contraction in current prices? I don't know that I trust that growth forecast. All right? IMF says 1.8% this calendar year, 8.5% in 2022. Now, what's true is that even if you don't believe the GDP forecast, and why it's important that we believe the GDP forecast is because your debt to GDP ratio is based moving forward is based on these forecasts. So your debt, certainly if you borrow, is going to do what you want it to do, but the economy doesn't necessarily do what you want it to do. All right? So these are questions. So if we look at the debt to GDP ratio, the government is now telling us that for this year, all right, we're going to be looking at an 87.7% debt to GDP ratio. All right. That's based on what our projected GDP is, and that's based on how much debt we're going to take on. We got a call? Sure. Let's do this. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, Juan, what's up, my brother?
Hey, what's happening?
All is well. Juan, anytime you get on this topic, I always ask you, what is the end game? Okay. Every day that you try to dissect this and explain this the best way you can to people, but the question is, how we going on when and where we going to get this money to pay back? Because at the end of the day, Mr. McCartney, let's be realistic. You have to find a way of how you're going to generate this money. Now, you either have an opportunity or do the most, I wouldn't really call it critical thing. You could either cut the government sector. You can either raise VAT. You have to do either two of those things because, Vaughn, I don't foresee nowhere in this country that we can generate money to pay back. You realize that the money that has to pay back during this time of all of this borrowing, that your children might have grandchildren. You might be a great-grandfather by then. God spare your life to live.
Yeah, they're going to pay for
because
it. My grandchildren
Everyone talking about they're so happy about the concessions and about customs. But people don't realize that we getting all of these free things, what is free now, but we still have to pay it back.
Yeah, agreed.
And no one is talking about that, Everyone is talking about flooding the employment line again with people, but no one is talking about how Mr. McCartney and how DeWitt is going to pay this money back. And Miami, I heard you said something that people really need to start to take things serious. Because every day that if you come on the radio and you try to explain to people, to persons about the budget and they're not understanding it or they're just looking at it from a political lens, then something is completely wrong with you.
Yeah, agreed. Do it.
All right. Yeah, but buddy, keep up the good work, man. I like how you're dissecting it, my brother.
All right. Appreciate you, man. Thanks. And he's correct. And we're going to get there in terms of the debt. Because the debt looming is the issue. Now, here's what's true. Just because you have a lot of debt doesn't mean people won't lend you money. All right? The government, there are governments that have well over 100% debt to GDP ratio. They can still borrow money. What the lenders will look at, always, 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 and we talked about this with the housing project, right? What the banks will always look at and the lending agencies will always look at is your ability to pay this money back. Now, governments get leeway because governments have tools that businesses don't. Governments can raise taxes. They have the power of coercive taxation, right? Governments can sell assets, all right? Ingram sold Statoil to Equinor, right? But as your ability to pay back this money gets strained, the conditions on which the money is lent get more onerous. And that's where it comes back to bite you, is when your debt servicing becomes too burdensome and you can't meet the payments. So, for instance, we're now at a rate of debt servicing of $500 million. I don't believe that it's going to go down next year, although they're saying it, they believe it will. But we're at a debt servicing rate of $500 million. In addition to that, we are putting $52 million a year, starting in the next fiscal year, because we'd stopped for a while, into a sinking fund. All right? The sinking fund I explained to you is to pay back debt. However, $50 million a year, even if we had 10 more years, all right, to start repaying these balloon payments on debt, that's not going to be enough money. So either you're going to have to put more money in the sinking fund or you're going to have to find more money. Come 9 years from now, you will have due a $200 million payment on a $600 million loan. From, oh, they said he didn't sell Borco. It was a private sale, but they got the taxes. Okay, fine. Fair enough. Yeah. BTC then, all right? So I know he sold that. So BTC, that was a state asset. He sold majority ownership of it, all right? In 9 years from now, we're going to have to find $200 million to pay back the first principal balloon repayment on a $600 million loan we took out last year. That's $200 million in U.S. cash in addition to whatever we're still paying on debt servicing. 3 years from now, we're going to have to pay back, I believe, if someone correct me if I'm wrong, the first principal balloon repayment on the $100 million loan that they table a resolution for were taken out with the World Bank. And that payment, I believe, is going to be at $30 million. So that's $30 million cash. So you see where this gets strained? You're now spending $500 million here. You're putting aside $50 million here. Your capacity to pay this money back, people are looking at it, they're going, can they pay? I guess they can pay this money back, but how sure are we that they're going to pay this money back, right? That they can easily pay it back. So we have to be very careful about our debt, all right? The government believes it will only run about a $500 million deficit. The government believes that because it thinks it will collect a certain amount of money. If the deficit goes beyond $500 million, the government will have to borrow in order to fund it. But you say, Juan, we don't have to have the deficit go beyond $500 million because we just don't have to spend all the money that we intended to spend. That's not going to happen during an election year. You already cut back money on capital work spending over the past previous years. You boosted it some this year. You're going to have to execute that work in an election year because you're clearly not looking at austerity. How is the government going to get this money? All right. Mainly through taxes and fees. What are the government's greatest revenue generators? Well, three of the government's greatest revenue generators. Because if you look at the fiscal snapshot, they lay it out for you with VAT, and it's also in the budget. All right? So let's look at where the government gets its greatest amounts of revenue. All right? The greatest amount of revenue brought in by the government is, anyone tell me where, anyone can guess where? From what? Value-added tax. That's the cash cow. Now, the government believes, projects, it's going to collect $845.4 million in VAT in the next fiscal year. That is an increase in VAT collection of $179 million. Now, if the government misses that by half, that's $90 million added to the deficit. What is the likelihood of the government missing this number? High, right? So this government has hit none of its revenue projections. And I know you're going to tell me that that's a common occurrence, but this administration has fallen short of its revenue projections on average 10% per fiscal year. That is several hundred million dollars. So in 2018, 2019, they had projected a certain amount, and that was off by $200 million. So the likelihood that they're collecting this $179 million in VAT, is it possible? Yes. Is it probable? To my mind, no. What is the next huge generator of government revenue? Taxes on international trade and transactions, and that is customs duties mainly. The government believes it will collect $405 million in taxes on international trade and transactions. If the government collects that, it will be an increase of $67 million. Let's say the government misses that target by 50%. All right. Or let's just say around 20%, right? We're talking $22 million. That's another $22 million. If we're being conservative with these, that's another $22 million added to the deficit. Let's say they don't get it. Let's say they're off 20%. And let's say they're off 30% with its VAT number of $180 million. Dollars. That's $60 million. So we're already at $82 million added to the deficit they're already planning on running. All right? So are we going to see customs duties grow by $67 million or thereabouts? It depends on the economic activity in the economy, which is the gross domestic product. They predict pretty big growth in the economy, but if that does not bear out, they're not going to collect these taxes. Excise tax, all right? That is also dependent upon activity in the economy. You pay excise tax on certain items at the border, all right? Excise tax, huge revenue generator. The government believes it's going to collect $236 million in excise tax this year. That is an increase of $74 million. Let's say the government misses that by 20%. We're talking another $23-24 million. Let's just say 20 for good measure. All right, you see, so now we're already over, if these projections are off, by $100 million. So that's $100 million more you're going to have to go borrow. Another big tax collector, revenue generator, is real property tax. The government thinks that it's going to bring in real property tax collections at $158.8 million in the next fiscal year. $159 million the government thinks it's going to collect in real property tax in the next fiscal year. That is an increase of $54 million over this fiscal year. That's real property tax. Now, what informs the government's view that they can collect 50% more revenue in real property taxes. The government said they'd done a valuation exercise where they've added $9 billion worth of land of property to the real property tax roll. Now, I don't know if I buy that in terms of, is all that land taxable land? And will you meet the threshold from that? The government also says it's going to start garnishing rent payable to commercial property owners who have delinquent taxes. All right, so they think they can make up $54 million. Is it possible the government's going to collect $159 million in real property tax over the next fiscal year? Yes. Is it probable? No. Is it likely? No. And here's why. This is the same administration who, when the 2020-21 budget was laid last July, right smack dab in the middle of the pandemic, budgeted real property tax collections at $130 million. Tens of millions of dollars more than the previous year. Why did the government think it could collect $130 million in taxes? Well, the government said it was going to do revenue enhancement measures. It was going to go after delinquent real property tax people, and it was also going to offer a discount for paying up your real property tax if you were delinquent. The government realized $11 million from that exercise, not 30. The government came back in the mid-year budget and revised that number down to $100 million from $130 million. So when the same administration that told me it was going to collect $130 million at the beginning of the last fiscal year and didn't, tells me that it's going to collect $154 million over the $100 million during this fiscal year, I don't believe that off top. So you've undershot by $30 million, right? You budgeted $130, you came back revised to $100. So I'm going to say you undershoot again by another $30 million with your real property tax collection. All right? So now we're at $130 million added to the deficit. I hope you see where we're going with this. The government says that it believes it can collect. We got a break? Okay, that's fine. Let's break, and we'll talk about this issue of gaming tax. Just what seems like a willful ignorance of the fact that the gaming tax thing is challenged, all right, from a government perspective and a gaming house perspective. We'll take a break, and we'll talk about that on the other side.
Ron's Electric Motors, they repair and rewind all major brands of electric motors, including water pumps, generators, and generators back end, welding machines, electric lifts, air compressors, battery chargers, and more. They equip to handle up to 850 kilowatts and rewind up to 450 horsepower motors. They're conveniently located on the corner of Wolf and Clarence Roads and are open weekdays 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays till noon. They offer 24 hours emergency assistance. You can reach them at 242-356-0249.
Preparing for a hurricane can make all the difference in safeguarding the lives of family, friends, and neighbors. By knowing what action you should take, you can reduce the effects of a hurricane disaster. Get all the facts of the potential of having insurance, impact-resistant windows, home emergency power, essential supplies, and a lot more before the storm. After the storm, where to purchase building or cleaning supplies, waste disposal, medical care, and more. The Nassau Guardians Hurricane Guide will help you make sure everyone knows what to do in the event a hurricane approaches. Take advantage of this double insertion opportunity plus 15 commercials on Star 106 Hits. Contact us today at 302-2300. That's 302-2300 or your account executive. Will you be prepared?
Travel less, but vacation more by indulging yourself and your family with the ultimate staycation getaway at Atlantis. Sleep in, relax, play, go out. Say yes to a fantastic staycation in your very own paradise, just over the bridge. For reservations, call 363-6483 or visit Atlantis Local on Facebook for details. Post your pictures with hashtag Atlantis Staycation for winning details.
Marlin Marine is going digital to better serve you. Check out our digital showroom at marlin-marine.com or visit our Facebook page and select shop to view our stock, speak with a sales agent, or request a quote. Be prepared this hurricane season with our lineup of Generac portable and standby generators. Our diesel and LP standby generators give you clean, uninterrupted power, while our portable generators provide convenient power where you need it, keeping you connected no matter the conditions. Find the Generac that best suits you. Contact Marlin Marine today and our sales agents will be sure to help. Call 393-7873, visit marlin-marine.com, and follow our social media pages to stay updated on our latest products. When the power cuts out, Generac steps in. So get your Generac generator today at Marlin Marine, giving you power on land and sea.
Everyone should experience a brand new car, but not everyone can afford one. Until now, Bahamas Bus and Truck has the answer. The stylish, spacious, feature-rich yet affordable Mitsubishi Attrage. Priced at $21,900, including a 3-year warranty, why not come and experience the value that Mitsubishi has built into the Attrage today? Bahamas Bus and Truck, the country's only authorized Mitsubishi dealer. Telephone 322-1722.
Bonneville Bones is here for you, this and every Father's Day. So let's make Dad feel extra special with a statement in fashion. We have the best options for every occasion, and your dad deserves
it. Make a statement in fashion, only at Bonneville Bones.
Leather shoes, we got it. Cufflinks, stitches, spotted. Chinos, linen, pocket piece, fresh. Shop with us, we got it. The best.
Bonneville Bones, located in the Mall at Marathon and Bay and George Street.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk. Quality.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. We're examining the government's projected revenue streams and trying to figure out what it is that they're actually going to bring in. We're going to, in the next hour, examine some of the spending and try to figure out why it is that they're spending the way they're spending. All right, so we talked about taxes on international trade and transactions, mainly customs duties. We talked about real property tax. We talked about value-added tax. We talked about excise tax, okay? We have so far given the government a conservative estimate of undershooting these numbers based on their history. And to me, we're so far $130 million over the deficit number projected, all right? So far, it's going to be more. Just let me briefly help you. What is this? Boy, want to leave my marijuana alone. It's the second time you said this. Let them look for another way to make some money. How they go make the money? Is like 50 grand for sand, an aggregate, I think, in the budget, is zero for aragonite. It ain't gonna be aragonite, right? Zero for aragonite. It is, it ain't gonna be, what you could sell. We can sell the Autech base. That's got a lease of $11 million. That's got to be worth something. The British Navy's testing torpedoes down there. Maybe the U.S. will buy it off our hands. So, and it ain't going to be gaming tax, all right? And I'll explain to you why, all right? And there's something bizarre going on with this projection, too. And this is why I falter with these things. So if you look at this, right, the budget, if you look at the gaming tax issue, that, all right, I want to get the exact head. Taxes on specific services is the head, all right? If you look at casino tax, so the government's saying they're going to have economic growth of 3.9%. We're going to collect more VAT. We're going to collect more customs duties, okay, because you're presupposing the tourists are coming back. So if the tourists are coming back, why is it that you are only projecting a $2 million increase in casino taxes year on year, yet you're projecting a $17 million increase in gaming taxes. Here's why I don't think you're going to collect $41 million in gaming tax or $17 million more. First, you've never collected the amount of gaming tax you've projected you would collect. That's the first thing. The second thing is the gaming house operators are extremely litigious. Yeah, they will go to court fast when you challenge them, even though the government has, to my mind, every right to levy taxes on the services. Right now, this matter of a tax on patrons' winnings, which is where they believe they're going to make up $15 million plus, is before the court. It has yet to be implemented. It is yet to be instituted. It was supposed to be done from January. It's not happening. Right? So why is it, if you know you're not collecting this money, you've budgeted to collect this money? All right, so you're not going to get it from gaming tax. I'm going to throw that whole $17 million onto the deficit. One shot. All right? So we're now at $150 million over where our deficit was projected to be. The government is also projecting that it's going to collect a vast amount of money in the Department of Immigration, much more so than last year. All right? And I'm looking at this very interestingly to understand the thinking behind this. It says, hey, Juan, why don't you invite Marlon Johnson or Kwesi Thompson on your show to explain these figures? Think they will show up? Yeah, Marlon's welcome to come anytime and explain it, as well as Kwesi Thompson, he who does not like to answer questions. Did you watch the budget press conference with Marlon Johnson and Kwesi Thompson? It was opaque, to put it gently. All right, but there, Marlon Johnson is certainly welcome. I don't think he's in any way afraid to come on and explain or attempt to explain what it is that he is seeing. In fact, I would welcome him. I think Nahaja had him yesterday, and from what I heard, he, you know, was strained to explain it rationally. Like these projections will actually, you know, bear out. All right, so we'll take a call, and then briefly we'll go through the immigration tax because I don't want the caller to hang up. Good afternoon, welcome to the revolution. Hello, good afternoon. Are you there? Did you fix the board or is it just me? No, everything's good now? The caller's not there. All right, not a problem. Okay, so the government believes it's going to collect a lot of money through the Department of Immigration. All right? I also wonder why the government says it's going to make $40 million off of the health visa in the next year. We're budgeting the health visa as revenue now? Shouldn't that be a revenue neutral operation? Shouldn't that be the least? Anyway, if we look at immigration fees are anticipated to come in at more than $15 million over this year. Does your economic activity bear that out, that you're going to collect $15 million in passenger fees, et cetera, like that? Permits and residence fees are going to come in more than $10 million, the government projects, over the last year. The year after that, more than $5 million. What makes you believe that? Do you think the economic residency thing that you've done is going to bring in $10 million more over the next fiscal year? Are you planning on increasing the work permit prices to bring in $10 million more? What makes you believe that that's going to happen? The government has also budgeted robust growth in business license fees and international business license fees as well. Now, I'm not going to add the immigration overrun or anything like this. or the immigration surplus or anything like this to the deficit. But if you could see just through a cursory exercise what we did, that's $150 million that we could comfortably look at and go, the government's probably not going to collect that. All right? The number could be more. As I told you, they've exceeded $200 million off in one fiscal year. So the number could be more. So, again, we're constrained to understand how you're making these projections. We got a call real quick before we go to the break. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hi, good afternoon, Juan. How you doing?
Hey, right here, buddy. You're right. You're short on time. You sure you want to call us back?
Yeah, please. I'll catch you on the next side because I really want to jump in along with you.
Okay, we'll do that. So let's take a break for news, and then we'll come back. We're going to talk about some of the expenditure side, and you can also weigh in as well, and we'll deal with some of your text messages. Stay tuned.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the revolution here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. Earlier, we were talking about some of the revenue projections and whether they are probable, likely to be achieved. I've got to give you some room for error because you've made errors in terms of your projections. Well, let me not say it was an error in terms of a projection. All right. So you made a projection. You did not meet the projection. No one's going to take you out back and shoot you. However, we have to be able to believe that you are being realistic and conservative enough in your projections so that you don't come out on the other side of this and go, well, we didn't get it. So deficit increase, borrowing increase, debt increase, tax got to go up, something got to give, we got to send people home, etc. And you look at some of the things that the government is paying for, all right? But you can weigh in if you'd like. 323-6232, because I want to talk about some expenses and other stuff like that. 325-4316 and 325-4259. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon, Juan. How you doing?
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Everything's good, buddy. And good afternoon to the nation. A very good analysis, by the way. You sparked my interest immediately because it's the level of conversations that I love and enjoy most.
Thank you.
One, mm-hmm. you left off at speaking somewhere around the business license fees, immigration fees,
yeah.
mm-hmm. and those sorts of fees, right?
Yeah.
And you had indicated that they were expecting around $50 million for immigration fees, mm-hmm. around $10 million for some other kind of immigration fee, and then an increase, a substantial increase in business license fees, right?
Business license and IBCs. They're looking at about $66 million, so that's a $17 million increase almost in immigration fees, and
right.
then $10 million more in immigration permits.
Okay, I want to tie it in before I get into my comment
okay.
on that particular part of your comment.
Uh-huh.
I want to tie it in to what jumped out at me when you were explaining these numbers. This tells me, one, that the government of the Bahamas, they are projecting this venture that they're seeking to pursue
mm-hmm.
with wealthy expats
mm-hmm.
coming to the country,
right?
And seeking to conduct business on the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is where they are projecting this level of
yeah.
revenue
right.
revenue to come from, right?
The $10 million, yeah.
Uh huh. And however, It doesn't speak to the immigration fees, which would... Are you able to tell us what was the amount that was actually collected in immigration fees versus the $50 million that they're projected?
No, they're projecting $66 million, and they say they're going to get $50 million by the end of this year. So I can only go off what they say they're going to get by the end of this year.
Are you able to tell us what the numbers were that came in under the previous term, fiscal year?
I got to check real quick. Hold on. It looks like. $50 million. No.
Okay. All right. Fine. No, not a problem. I'll just work from the premise of projections one. What this tells me, one, is in an environment where unemployment is extremely high in the country.
Well, oh, listen, before you say that, well, here's the thing. They collected $52 million in 2019-2020. For July through March of 2020-21, they collected $20 million, but they anticipate they're going to get $51 million by the end of June. So
okay,
that
so,
tells
so
you
that's
that
there's a $30 million increase.
There's $30 million increase in the last quarter.
Right.
They may
right.
not realize that, and so you
right.
have a point.
And so
yeah.
and so one, what that tells me in terms of looking at the numbers, because the numbers do speak and the numbers tell a story if you pay close enough attention, right? I learned that early on. And accounting from my previous bosses at Gomez and Gomez Chartered Accountants when it was Gomez and Gomez.
What happened?
But and Mr. Gibson. But nonetheless, one. At a time when we have record levels of unemployment in our country, record levels of underemployment in our country, record levels of frustrated workers in our country, the government is seeking to create a revenue stream of an entity that was never meant to be a revenue stream for the government. Never meant to be a revenue stream for the government. The government is taking its focus off of creating growth in the economy, and it's placing its focus on jobs being taken out of the economy by persons who would be the ones to pay this additional $30 million, which is an astronomical amount, right? In immigration, that's a major concern, which needs to be examined a bit more closely. The government has a lot of explanation to do on that particular account. But Warren, earlier today in your newscast, the central bank of the Bahamas gave a statement, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they indicated that spending on building materials for construction services in rebuilding efforts will further negatively impact foreign reserves, right?
Mm-hmm.
One, that is a serious statement. I've been speaking to that ever since the Prime Minister made his budget communication, right? What that is saying, one, is the policy that the Prime Minister has implemented as Minister of Finance is a very scary policy, one. Most of our foreign reserves are built on borrowed monies, right?
Mm-hmm.
We do not have any means right now to match what we have borrowed in foreign currency through earnings from tourism, which is primarily responsible for bringing in that foreign currency and bolstering our foreign currency reserves.
Yeah.
And so instead of being very careful with policies that is implemented, the government recklessly implemented a policy which will no doubt send tens, possibly hundreds of millions of dollars in material purchases out of the country, which means when these people purchase these things in Bahamian currency has to be exchanged through central bank with change, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which will dramatically impact our foreign currency, our foreign reserves.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, of course.
And that's a serious
yeah.
concern. One on top of us having to repay these monies in foreign currency, when with the interest payments in the interim and with the balloon payment when those balloon payments come due. Right.
Yeah. The balloon payments are going to hurt. They're going to cramp your stomach. When you got
to
start paying hundreds of millions of dollars back.
We are only, if the Bahamians think that the budget exercise that we are about to go through is all that there is, they're in for a rude awakening. We are only at the beginning of this budget exercise, one, and it won't end until this government is out of office. Because what it means, in essence, one, when they are missing their budget projections, as you are rightfully pointing out to the country, it means that they aren't going to have the revenue to meet the expenses, which means they have to come back to Parliament and borrow whatever shortfalls we are experiencing in the country in order to keep the country running. And if they don't borrow those funds, one, it means, in essence, based on the financial language, that they will either have to fire a ton of civil servants, or they will have to sell off some of our assets, like what they did with BTC, or they will have to settle one with increasing VAT even further, or finally one, they will have to go to the IMF. And so those are the four options, one, that this government would be forced to pick up, which they are trying to ward off currently. But if you look deeply into the financial information in their budget report, you don't see any realistic foreign direct investments that is going to come and save the government. You don't see any policies of revenue generation that is going to come and save the government. And as it relates to their projections on revenue, as you rightfully pointed out, they have never hit any of their revenue projections in the entire 4 years that they have been in government. And so, one, we are in serious trouble in this country.
Yeah.
We are in serious trouble. I'll end on this point if I can, one.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to all of that, one, when you look at their tax credit policy, right?
Mm-hmm.
For VAT. You know what I'm talking about, Juan?
Yeah, the refund.
Right, where they give you that $400.
Oh, the $400 credit for the job thing. Yeah,
right.
I got you.
Uh-huh. Juan, that only works, Juan, in a business that is already performing, in a business that is realizing the kind of revenue that is required in order to meet that VAT payment at the end of the day. Most of the businesses in this country are small and medium-sized businesses, and they are struggling to keep the light on in this country. A lot of them, one, when you look at the...
You told me you were ending here, Anton. I have other callers and texts, you know?
When you look at the VAT collections in this country, it is extremely down, and so that is an indicator, one, that most businesses will only take advantage of that because there's a tax being paid by the government, but you will not realize anything from that program because the economy needs to improve at the end of the day, and our foreign reserves will continue to be troubled, and the domestic business will continue to be troubled because when behemoths have the opportunity to get VAT and duty-free exemption on importing items, it means that the local economy is going to continue to suffer and strangle for a long time. Thank you for the opportunity, one.
Okay. All right. Thanks. And you know that it's lengthy, Anton, but you do make some good points. All right. I will say that as long as you're talking sense, we can talk. And you often talk sense. Not always. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
I hope when the people get the power, Anton can still function. But the last one, like him, ran a little off his rockers. Let's say right. When the number boys and the argument was fighting for the big money, right, 50% off. I always say, minister, as prime minister, so to step in and say, give me 20 now and 5-3 years down the road, which would make it 25%. He could have, now, Papa would have done that. He had the argument and number boys fight. They won 50% of the number boys, not in court. They went back to 12. So he missed a chance of it being the CEO of this country, he let the Agla and their fight.
Yeah.
He could cut the pie.
He
that's his pie
it.
And our prime minister, but he let that slide by.
Yeah,
that's all right.
Yeah.
If you Google, right, Seattle got 21 billionaires. Instead of Washington, got a tax of 1%. Now, that's 2 billionaires. So it's like Jeff Bezos but owe state taxes of 2 billion more. Why we can't do that here? All them billionaires hanging up around here. 1% of your money, or go back home.
I do think they'll go back home if you hit the billionaire. I don't know, man. I gotta, you know what I'm saying? Are you talking about billionaires living here? Like that they, you know, because they may go somewhere else. You know, Cayman ain't too far. You know, you gotta be get Turks ain't that far off. Just start hitting up every billionaire. I'm all for people paying their fair share, but be careful with what you ask for. Here's why the gaming thing also, they're saying, won't work. What has happened is the emergency order has limited the number of hours that the gaming houses can actually operate for people to come bring cash in. The emergency order has also closed the web shops on Sundays. The emergency order also limits who can come in the web shop and play. All right. Or how many people can be in the web shop? So the web shop market, the web shop owners say the local gaming market has shrunk due to the pandemic, due to the emergency order. All right. The money you think you're going to realize you're not because you've impacted our business model. What has happened is more people have drifted toward those gaming operations that are still unregulated. What the web shop owners say is if you start taxing the people's winnings, in the legitimate gaming houses, they're going to go to the black market again where their winnings are not taxed. Therefore, you're not going to realize this money and you're going to drive our customers away. So they're trying to make this argument to the government like this is you're constraining our business to the point where you're killing it before it has a chance to really recover. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Juan, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Wonderful, Juan. Something just happened. I'm going to be real quick about it. I'm realizing within the last couple of weeks, Juan, and I don't know who you got to call in concerning consumer prices.
Mm-hmm.
But Wong's and several of these other places, plywood is up.
I don't want to call any names.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I want to call no name. I'm sorry. Yeah. But anyway, plywood is up at $52 and $70 in some places.
Yeah. It's
in
doubled.
In times like these, is that something that the government has control over or consumers? Can we at least try to see if we get someone on the radio who could explain to us why these prices are going so high?
I could explain it to you.
Can you?
Yeah. The pandemic has interrupted the flow of construction supplies globally. So it has halted the production of construction supplies, staples like plywood, nails, screws, all right? They are constrained to deliver these materials, and therefore, I'm sorry, there's a limited amount of these materials, and therefore the big suppliers are gobbling them all up, and the prices are going up because the supply is limited. So until you get these companies operating as they were pre-pandemic, expect the prices to continue going up. If you would notice, plywood is, like I said, double, right? People are now having to go beyond Florida, north of Florida, to get construction supplies. Because as these guys ramp up their construction projects, they're eating up all the supply that was limited in the first place. Judge us. So I know people who want tile for their house, and they're told they have a 4 or 5 month wait for tiles. Because the supply chain is disrupted.
Yeah, I know.
So the government could make it zero duty, right? And the price is still going to go up. But they did say they're going to reduce some duty.
Wow.
So it's a rough time to build.
It is a rough time to build.
Yeah.
It is.
So that's what's going on. But I don't know that the retailers are what their profit margin is. But the price is up everywhere.
Well, and another thing I want to talk about real quick. I was driving around Saturday evening and Sunday evening. I hear a lot of these people crying about how tough people have it. But, man, if you see the bars and the clubs, the way people are partying and whatever they're doing, I don't know if we have it tough.
Some people do, but some people are making choices that are leaving them screwed, and they want to blame someone else because of their poor choices. But there are people who do have it rough.
And then the way I look at it, Juan, too, I say, you know, a lot of them are men. These are fathers who ain't taking care of their children, you know.
In the bar, yep. Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, man, that's why these children are on the road doing what they got to do. And things happening the way because they're being neglected.
Yep.
And it kind of hurt me because I think it's a pandemic and these people, we're still in the pandemic. And these people are having this much fun, but I hear a lot of people come on the radio complaining. And I'm thinking some of these people are wasting away their money and complaining that the government ain't doing good for them. This is a time, Juan, for us now to start saving. There's a time and a season for everything.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to me, Damon, people. This is a time to start saving your money and do what Joseph told Pharaoh to do, to save for a few years. There's going to be time to spend, but it's a time to save. Anyway, thank you, Juan.
I appreciate you. Well, the thing is this, and we'll go to another call. I do hear you, and I hear you about people at bars and then other people calling and complaining, but they're not all the same people. People have disparate experiences. So there are people who are trying their best, who are really hurting, who don't have work. And then there are people who are making choices to go blow their money, and then they want to complain that they don't have enough money to go blow their money and take care of their responsibilities. So, again, I don't lump everybody all together. Good afternoon. Welcome. Someone says the price of block is going up in Nassau. We make blocks here. Yes, exactly. Good afternoon. Hello. What happened to the caller? Drop. Call us back. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hello. Can you hear me?
I can. Yes.
Hey, how you doing, man?
I'm great. How's it going?
Good. So, Juan, you know, I'm listening to this budget report and going through it, and I have to laugh. I mean, you know, I'm a business owner, and I would really, really recommend that Guardian, one of the talk shows, get over to Abaco and get on the ground and see what's going on. I invested in Abaco a couple of years before Dorian, and I'm rebuilding there now currently. And I had to tell this story because it just blew my mind. But I, you know, I'm trying to clear items to get things going, and you're spending money with the government. So I was over there a few weeks ago, and basically customs was shut down. So they were shut down because they had a generator issue. And I was really, you know, I was really bothered by the situation because I was on the ground trying to get things going. So I went over to customs to find out what was going on, why the power wasn't on. Have you ever seen customs in Marsh Harbor after the hurricane?
No, I heard it's a mess, though.
Okay, so the custom department that brings in all the revenue, they're working out of a tropical shipping container that Tropical donated to them.
Of course.
And the generator that is down, that runs the entire facility, is a $500 5kW gasoline generator. So that is what we pay taxes for.
Yeah,
you know, we never hear about these people that have to work in these conditions. But when you sit there and you look at the custom officer that's working in those conditions, the power is off, and then you have brokers on the ground there that are bringing in their laptop and hotspotting their phone so customs could work, and they're working in there in the heat. Mm. You have to give it to some of these workers, because if they didn't want to put in the effort, I mean, we as a country would come to a grind to nothing.
Yeah.
But those conditions are deplorable. That's one thing. The other thing is, you talk about bringing in revenue. I voted for the FNM in this election, and I will tell you that the inline revenue department mm-hmm. worked very well under the PLP, mm-hmm. and that's not a plug for the PLP. It's just a fact.
Right
now, my home, I would like to pay my real property tax on my home, and there is an issue in the most recent statement. I have called, I've emailed, I would say 20 times. You today in your knockoff, please try and call in not enough revenue and okay. trying to get anywhere. Just try that for me. I went down there. You have to stand outside because of obviously the coronavirus. You have to stand outside on the line. I waited for about an hour, 20 minutes. I gave up. I said, if they want my money, somebody should reach out. And to date, this is, you're talking about probably 9 months, not a response yet.
Really?
So really. And I will give you my emails. I will give you all of the emails that we sent to them. Nothing. So I will tell you that if the government wants to collect revenue, then they need to shape up. They need to get their people working. And the last thing I want to touch on, because over the last few months, there's been some talk shows talking about Abaco and the immigration problem and the government knocking down these homes.
Mm-hmm.
The government spends a lot of money on the civil service. So somebody needs to do an investigation, because these shanty towns that we're building up, and what they call the farm up there by Treasure Key, people have been complaining, they have been writing, they have been calling ever since it started. And the government allowed, and I won't say the government, say these departments, Ministry of Environment, Immigration, whatever it is, these things have gone on and on and on and on. Nothing was done. So you have to ask yourselves, is the ministry responsible, the government, or is it these civil service agencies? Because if there is, somebody needs to be fired. Somebody needs to be terminated. We're hiring all of these people that are supposed to be working, and then you have a budget that comes out. Now, I have not heard one note from the government about cutting salaries for government workers.
If
government workers are efficient, fine. But if you're having this level of inefficiencies across government workers, somebody has to be held accountable, and we should not be paying for this level of service.
Yes, I agree. Thank you. That's very, very cogent points you make there. Thank you very much. That's a good contribution. That's scary to think about Abaco, eh? Yikes. All right. Now, I want to say this. You got to figure out what it is that you want now. So in terms of the caller who said that people are wasting their money, nah, you got to figure out what it is that you want. Either you want people to save and therefore economic activity slows and the economy contracts, or you want people to spend money to generate economic activity. So you got to figure out which one you want. You can't have both. You can't have economic recovery without economic activity. And you can't have savings, not robustly, without continuing to spend in the manner in which you are doing, unless you make more money. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hello. Hello, Ron.
Hey, what's happening?
Guess what? The BMN people just need to stop sugarcoating. When Bill Gates say he won't buy all of these swamp land, that's what the government depends on. And we might welcome the reality. This is your first time caller. When the government depends on them same swamp land for Bill Gates to pay off the bill. Thank you very much.
All right. That could be. They might be waiting. I don't know if Bill Gates is in the market. He's busy injecting tracking chips in people with vaccines. This says, please bring on Marlon and ask him these same questions so you and the rest of us can understand the figures. This is his field, and he can break it down. Yeah, I'd like him to come on. I'll ask him to come on. It says, hi, my favorite journalist. Thank you. One, if they don't put VAT up to 20%, they can sock it to you either by NIB or car licenses, but we could pay that back in and free. Great show. They should make you Minister of Finance. No, I don't want that job. Among well-paying jobs, it ain't that well-paying, for that stress. Among jobs that are out there, Minister of Finance is not one that I would want in this current environment. This ain't no joke. I hear the PLB talking, but you guys are going to be challenged if you win the next election. Anyone is going to be challenged. Reality is going to have to confront you at some point. Good afternoon, Juan. Did the government add tax from the numbers winning in this year's budget toward our projection? Yes. Yes, that's got to be what it is. It's more than $15 million. Good day, Juan. Me and my wife are saying the same thing DeWitt said. How will we pay this money back? My business is only hanging on by God's graces. Yeah, it's rough. Good day, Mr. McCartney. The administration could have met all of those real property tax projections if the Revenue Enhancement Unit was allowed to carry out its mandate without interference while the administration attempted to keep the unit intact. Internally, the unit struggled because carrying out its mandate due to internal conflicts. Oh, okay. I'd be interested in knowing that. I haven't gotten my real property tax statement. Well, I lie. I haven't checked my mail in months and months and months. Who gets snail mail? Send me the email. Send me it in an email. Okay? Do I need to register? I'm already registered with the Department of Inland Revenue. If you see a real property tax bill come up in my name, send it to my email so I can understand what it is. But I haven't received my real property tax assessment for 2020, so I'm going to assume there is none and carry on smartly. Good afternoon, because you don't ever know, right? No one comes, you know how you don't pay your light bill and they come to your house and turn the light off? You go, you can't play crazy. But my light bill, I get it by email. But no one ever comes to your house and puts a notice on your door, your real property tax is due. You have 30 days, we're going to put a lien on your property. Hello, good afternoon, welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon, Mr. McCartney.
Hey, Sparky, how's it going?
Yeah, I just want you to bear with me a minute, because I remember back in the time when Antoine Soifest round Perry Christie's reign.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, he came out of woodwork like a termite. They're coming out of woodwork like a worm.
Mm-hmm.
And then all we used to hear during that time was the Right Honorable Perry Christie just started the next day. You couldn't get enough of Antoine.
Right?
At that time, when I used to call in once or twice, day during different shows, I used to always be told, Sparky, if you call in one show in the morning, don't call back no more till the next day.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I used to be told. And don't call back the same show the second time. Right? As when it comes to the PLP, and I know you've heard it many times, because I know I've spoken with the hierarchy. I say the hierarchy. The spokesman for the PLP is supposed to be the chairman, which is Fred Mitchell.
Mm-hmm.
Although when he comes on talk show, he don't want nobody to ask him no questions.
Right.
He's supposed to be talking on behalf of the PLT. Now, I don't understand. If Sparky could only call in once a day or once a show, how come it is that this doggone strange, doggone just new to the talk show, dominates the talk shows, come in on every talk show from right in the morning, all day, allowed to speak for as long as he want to, and nobody says nothing? But when Sparky or other people call in, it's like a 30-second talk. Thank you. Have a good day. We got to go to a break. How come does Antoine have some favorite guest in there, and he's not the spokesman for the PLP party? He's causing more harm to the PLP party than anybody else, because people tired of him. I tell you that, and you know that, because you hear a lot of people in the PLP say they tired of him. Have a good day.
Okie dokie. Good afternoon. Welcome to the... You can do, you gotta, someone send me the link to go log in to find your real property tax bill. Am I registered? I have a business license registration. Do they know me? Did I just put my name in? I'm going to send them. I'll call them. I so want to pay my real property tax. That's a great priority for me. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hi, Juan, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
You can hear me? Hello?
I can hear you, yes. Hello?
Hi, Juan, how are you?
I'm great. How's it going?
Okay. I just want to remind persons in case they forget. It was the PLP under Michael Alcides who raised VAT. So if they would have been, sure, they'd put VAT up.
No, they introduced VAT.
If they're VAT friendly. Pardon me?
They introduced VAT. They paid. They put VAT on us.
Yes, it was Michael Alcides. You forget it. He was the one who raised VAT.
Well, it wasn't his VAT idea. It wasn't his idea, but, you know.
Pardon me?
I said he was Minister of State for Finance, but it wasn't his idea.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but yeah, the PLP put VAT on us. That ain't no question.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah. Person, I find it strange if, you know, they wouldn't make a change or no different. They would have to increase VAT. No doubt about that.
I don't know, if you increase VAT, you sure you're going to make that money?
Yeah, especially if you become Minister of Finance.
Yeah,
the
I mean.
The first thing you're going to do is put VAT on 12%.
There's going to be some hard choices.
15%. Or perhaps 20%. How about that?
Yeah. I mean, it could be 20. Okay. You know, yeah. It's rough. So, listen, the issue with VAT. And at my core, at my center, my issue was VAT, never that. You put VAT on us, right? Because VAT did a couple of things. Well, now we got to take a break. All right, it's not the music. I'm tripping. No, never mind. Wait, we don't have to take a break yet. So my central issue was never that they put VAT on us, right? My issue was that you said you're putting VAT on us for a particular reason, and you did not follow through with that. And it was nonsense, right? And that was my entire issue with VAT during the last administration, all right? Don't tell me you're going to do something. It's for a specific purpose, and then you go do other stuff with it, right? And don't put it on the purpose. Don't use it for the purpose which you said you were going to use it for. Now, these said raise VAT, and no, I couldn't predict. And don't, I ain't using Dorian, all right? Because Dorian didn't wipe out the entire economy. It accounted for a significant segment of the economy, but it didn't crush everything, right? But Dorian was bad, right? I see in the budget, you're saying Dorian was responsible for, like, way more revenue than Abaco and Grandmama ever gave to the Treasury. But anyway, in the communication. VAT, I'll be brief with this. The problem wasn't VAT itself, right? It was just you didn't do what you said you were going to do. But what VAT did do was it leap forward Bahamian businesses in terms of record keeping, in terms of being able to monitor what they brought in, and in terms of having point of sale systems that could actually help them track and modernize their businesses. So VAT, in some respects, the implementation of VAT was a good thing. It leaped forward. All right. The Department of Inland Revenue, well, they created the Department of Inland Revenue. It leaped forward, right? How the Treasury would communicate and operate. You understand? So VAT isn't a bad thing in and of itself. It's a regressive tax and you don't want to do too much of it. But don't tell me you're going to put VAT on us and the debt's going to come down in a couple of years. Don't tell me you're going to raise VAT and then the debt's going to come down in a couple of years. Because this is the second time now that you've said this about VAT and the debt. And it never pans out the way you say it's going to pan out. So I no longer believe you when you tell me you're raising these taxes because we have a debt problem. All right. Even though you do raise the taxes when you say you have a debt problem. But I no longer believe that that's going to take care of the debt. Because it somehow never does. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Rodney, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
All right, man.
All right.
Well, Sparky let it all out just now. See, and I always say, what Anton does, he don't care what topic is on, which host I'm on, the talk show is on. He comes on, right? And he pretends that he is contributing to the topic that is being discussed. And then he rubbed it right in. And then what I don't like, he starts to blame the government. What I don't like, you know, he shouldn't be allowed to call. I don't hear him say today, but he always do on these different talk shows, calling the prime minister this worthless, no good prime. He shouldn't be allowed to say that. He should be allowed to sit on these shows. Sparky was right.
Okay. Okay. Now notice, you guys are calling in to complain about Anton, who did not call in to complain about anybody, but simply called in to comment on the show. I know he can be long sometimes, but Anton does make germane points at times. Good afternoon, and here we are again discussing a caller rather than discussing a topic. Good afternoon, welcome. Hello, good afternoon, welcome.
Hi, good day, Juan. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. I called earlier. I was so excited there. I called a call about the working conditions with customs and what we have to face. And I want to make mention of how the government in this budget has cut the revenue, not the revenue, but they've cut the budget for customs.
Yeah.
And yet this department has gone tirelessly during the pandemic and even up to the day working. And amazingly, haven't had a promotional exercise in 8 years. Nor do we have a confirmed executive. So it's amazing to me to see that they are looking for a department to collect revenue, but aren't showing much interest in this department.
That's
but
a great
first
point.
First time caller, I just wanted to make mention of that.
No, that's a great point. Thank you for that. Yes, thank you very much. All right, let's do some text messages. We got another call. Let's do another call, then we break, and then we deal with our text messages. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Good afternoon. Are you there? One more time. Good afternoon. Welcome. Nope. All right. Let's go to a break.
In life, there are always challenges. Today, we find ourselves having to be more self-sufficient, socially aware, and technically savvy. At J.S. Johnson, we are committed to our customers by providing cost-effective insurance solutions. No matter what your insurance needs, we will always be here for you. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com. J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers, giving you peace of mind.
Wendy's spicy means Wendy's spicy. Unlike the other guys, our spicy activates all your senses for a taste of Wendy's spicy. Try the new Chipotle Crunch Cheeseburger made with fresh beef or the new Chipotle Crunch Chicken Sandwich, both with delicious crispy jalapenos, Chipotle aioli, cheddar cheese sauce, and much more. Taste the Wendy's spice in every bite of irresistible Chipotle Crunch Top Fries too. Stop for today for the flavor you crave. Wendy's, different inside and out.
Hello, sir. Your credit card bill is due. Hello, sir. It's time for your monthly loan payment. Tired of creditors pounding at your door? Sign up for a debt consolidation loan from Fidelity Bank and consolidate your debt into one low monthly payment. What's more, you'll also earn interest on a built-in savings account. The pandemic has curbed many freedoms, but at Fidelity, our focus is to help regain your financial freedom. Visit a branch or speak to a Fidelity Bank at 356-7764. COVID safety measures in place at all branches. Fidelity, we're good for you.
Travel less, but vacation more by indulging yourself and your family with the ultimate staycation getaway at Atlantis. Sleep in, relax, play, go out. Say yes to a fantastic staycation in your very own paradise just over the bridge. For reservations, call 363-6483 or visit Atlantis Local on Facebook for details. Post your pictures with hashtag Atlantis Staycation for winning details.
The Sourdough King is back at Burger King Nassau. This fan favorite features 2 quarter-pound savory flame-grilled beef patties topped with thick-cut smoked bacon, 4 slices of melted American cheese, ketchup, and creamy mayonnaise, all on toasted sourdough slices. Get your sourdough sandwich as a single or a double and add ice-cold Pepsi and fries or onion rings for a perfect way to fill your day. The flame-grilled Sourdough King is only here for a limited time and only available at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
At Bahamas Bus and Truck Company Limited, we provide vehicles known for quality and durability.
From the iconic Jeep Wrangler to the award-winning Grand Cherokee, we've got your everyday driver covered. For larger tasks, our Ram 1500, Mitsubishi Fuso Canter trucks, CMC Verica vans, and Fuso Rosa jitneys do way more than just deliver. We even carry a wide variety of pre-owned vehicles. To keep you going, our parts, service department, and body shop can accommodate our brands and others. Call us today at 322-1722 or email info@bahamasbus.com.
Bonneville Bones is here for you, this and every Father's Day. So let's make Dad feel extra special with a statement in fashion. We have the best option for every occasion, and your dad deserves
make
it.
A statement in fashion, only at Bonneville Bones.
Leather shoes, we got it. Cufflinks, stitches, spotted. Chinos, linen, pocket piece, fresh. Shop with us, we got it. The best.
Bonneville Bones, located in the Mall at Marathon and Bay and George Street.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. We're just going to deal with our text messages. No more calls at the moment. This is, I want you, the government basically wants us to believe they'll collect real property tax from people who lost their jobs, were furloughed, or worked reduced hours due to the pandemic. People are in catch-up mode, whether they were directly affected or not. Most people had to help someone who was. These taxes that went largely uncollected for years when people had money are definitely not a priority for people now. Not when BPL and mortgages and school fees are in arrears. The purpose of this whole budget presentation seemed to be to announce concessions in time for election season. My only thought after hearing is, it was with what money? Good question. Because I don't see it. I don't see you meeting these projections. I hope so. I hope so. But I don't see it. I wouldn't plan my business this way. Let's just say that. Mr. McCartney, call it what it is. Lies, lies, lies. This fiscal deficit will be near $1 billion. I mean, and that wouldn't shock me. So I don't know why we plan like that's not in the realm of things that could happen, because we've averaged a $1 billion deficit for 3 years now. If you add it up, right? Well, on yesterday on your show with the labor leader, one of your favorite and chronic callers, Anton, called and corrected you on a labor matter and virtually put you to shame. I was talking nonsense in your interpretation of the law, so I was very surprised not to hear you say in response to the often most arrogant, hey man, Anton, let me help you. You feel better? Is that what you do with your day? You like sit there like in man, like trying to figure out how I feel about Anton calling me? Like that's the core of your existence, that you, or you just have some time to worry about how I feel. But at the time I told Anton I wasn't too sure. I thought he was wrong, but I told him I'd check the law, but I can't remember what he said exactly, but I don't care as much as you do, clearly. Juan, how are you? Tell Anton PLP will not win the government. Good day, Juan. How dare these spoiled, rotten foreigners cry to the UN that we are unjustly taking away their stolen property. Bahamians can't get an inch of land for free. I lost my home. I already put $100,000 into. While these privileged people think they deserve everything for free, they work, send the money out of the country, bring more people here. I hear you. We're not doing the Shantytown show today. It says Anton makes a serious and crucial point on the government making immigration fees a revenue source. Yeah, but I don't have a problem with it. I don't have a problem with that. When I think Guardian Radio pays Anton to call this show to talk, and you don't stop him, Lord, Lord. I mean, I try to hear him out. He does take too long at times. This says, the people in the bars ain't spending that much either. These businesses are also suffering and closing down. Remember during the lockdowns, people were hanging out in the food stores like a social event. It gave the impression that major spending was going on. One, what happens to the thousands of suggestions that were sent by the Economic Recovery Committee? My suggestion was cameras in all government offices and fire those who go to lunch for 3 hours, show up late, are rude, etc. Time to stop paying them for being lazy. Hey, Juan, they can charge you more for your second personal vehicle. Other countries tax your pets even. With debt going up, taxes will be on everything. What happened to the vanity license plates? I wanted one of those. Juan, can we as Bahamians stop acting like we're not aware of the fact that we're paying civil servants for non-existent and mediocre services? Good day, Juan. Sparky venting about Anton was hilarious. We got everything. It's not even become like a forum for... Let me rephrase that. It drifts away from a forum of relevant topical discussion when we just complain over personalities of everyone. So you think I'm arrogant. You think Anton is running on too much. And then we get away from actually making any progress and learning something, right? So I don't know if you're listening to be informed or what it is at this point, but I'm going to keep trying. I won't give up on you. I'm committed to the cause of helping Bahamians better understand what's going on. I won't get it right all the time, but I'll try my best to always get it as right as I can. When I'm sick of Anton, you just allow him to spew trash. Oh, Jesus Christ. This is... Juan, I tried to access my NIB statement online, but I was not able to get it. I sent NIB an email, but no response. Can we get our personal NIB statement online? I'm not certain that you can, but I don't know. Good day, Juan. I'm just sick and tired of living in the Bahamas. Can't wait for Canada to reopen. Got to take a break and hope that the Bahamian government gets it right while I'm away. Yep. You take a break if you need. Mm-hmm. It says income tax will help us out of this, but the politicians don't want a percentage of their income to go to the government. This says, what is the VAT money used for now, Juan? Is it actually reducing the deficit? Nope, not that I'm aware of. Do you think this administration is utilizing it as intended? They really don't have a choice at this point. They had a couple of years where they was trying to do it. Still couldn't get it because they didn't realize the revenues that they said they were going to realize. And then they cut capital spending to make the deficit come in line. But I don't know that I would have done that. Juan, sometimes I have a problem with Anton too, but Anton calls to talk about issues. People use their time already to talk about Anton. They are the idiots. Says, good afternoon, Juan. Anton made a lot of good points today, bro. Well, again, I think that is this a productive use of our time to speak about Anton? It says Anton doesn't stick to the point as DeWitt does, but at times he makes me sick as he never sees wrong. It says, I guess Anton made sense today, everyone hating on him. Shame on all you who cannot tolerate someone who doesn't share your perspective on issues. Anyway, at least he spoke to the issues. All right. Says, Juan, a byproduct of VAT was supposed to assist helping businesses by implementing a point-of-sale system where they can track their income expense and get a better understanding of their performance of their businesses. However, many businesses fail to implement the system. You'd be surprised to know the amount of medium and small businesses that are still operating manually. Yeah, I went into a business the other day that I thought, you know, was pretty astounded, and they were doing the ring and cash register. I was like, huh. I'm silent because I'm sifting through all these text messages about Anton that I don't find necessary to read. Juan, the government can fool some of the people, but they can't fool all the people all the time. This government doesn't have any idea about the new budget. It says perhaps this administration is going to hold off going up on VAT for the next party and use it as an election ploy in the future. Things that make you go, hmm. It says, lay off the income tax talks, please. Don't need no government taking my money directly so they have more money to mismanage. All right, we got time for a call. Let's do a quick call. Let's do it. Let's do it. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hello, good afternoon. Are you there? I'm good.
Wonderful, sir. I'm calling to congratulate you, sir.
Okay.
On the way how you are a host warrior. Or put it, warrior host. Okay, you stand your ground on every parameter and defy those that think you should say what they want you to say. Okay, I am here to congratulate you for standing your ground. And also, too, have you ever heard a Haitian rise up against a Haitian?
Have you ever heard a Chinese do the same thing? Or even a Jamaican here in our country go up against each other? This morning, Louis George, who is Haitian descent, he stood up for the Haitians that, that the UN came to check out. Okay? What I'm saying is that why would we call into your talk show and talk about Anton instead of talking about the water and firewood garden or the housing project? Or even something built in the honor of our national hero, or even some more money for the for those ships that, that are on the water that is leaking. Okay, why not something concrete? Why is your mind on Anton? Okay, you're going to be hurt because the day that Anton wins his election, and you're going to have to go to him for something, they'll use the white man. Okay. But Ron McCarthy, you be encouraged.
All right.
Okay? Thanks. And stand your ground, my brother.
Thanks a lot. All right. It says, we can't do any more calls. It says, the reality is the budget presented would never satisfy all, but unlike the PLP, when they were in office, their budget presentations were seemingly aligned with friends, family, and lovers. All right. There's one, I've always had a question about VAT. If a business reimburses the government for VAT, is this done based on landed cost before retail pricing? If so, wouldn't this create a surplus? And what the business keeps is VAT at the retail level grosses more than at the landed level. I got to examine that question. Send it to me tomorrow, and we'll look at it. So I am praying, and we're going to continue these discussions, and we're not going to give up, right? So like any journey, there are times when it gets rocky, and we're going to continue going through it, right? Through all the shenanigans, through all of those who have some personal level of vitriol for me when I've done nothing to any of you, we're still going to continue. If you don't like Anton calling or Sparky Talk calling or Amos calling, we're still going to continue. And at the end of this journey, we are going to come out the better for it. All right? I know we will. We're going to come out more informed. We're going to come out more aware. We're going to come out more courageous. And we're going to come out understanding that in order for the country to be revolutionized, the people must first revolutionize their thinking and behavior. All right? We got to go. Shavargo Lang's up next with Z Live Off the Record. You guys, as always, take care out there. Be good to each other and have a great day, Bahamas.